Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
I, Elena Kagan, do solemnly swear that I will administer justice without respect to persons. So help me God.
God is punishing these soldiers, punishing their parents, really. And the parents ought to be very thankful for me to tell them this.
It's one thing to assume the role of God and to call down judgment on others. To do it at a time of bereavement of our fallen heroes in uniform is just despicable beyond description.
You don't reform the sinful flesh, you put it to death. That's what the Bible says. It's not a matter of making him better. It's a matter of making him dead so that he doesn't kill you.
I jokingly called this the Issues, Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
Most of us cannot imagine what life would be like behind bars, and many cannot imagine after being there what life would be like not behind bars. The transition from prison life to what the rest of us consider to be ordinary life is probably one of the most difficult changes a person has to make other than going behind bars the first time. We're going to be talking about prison outreach for the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. Alive this Tuesday, October the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Deaconess Sandy Bowers will be our guest to talk about that. Then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll talk about Abram rescuing Lot, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the second hour of the program on this Tuesday afternoon, Dr. David Prentice will join us from the Family Research Council to talk about an FDA-approved study using embryonic stem cells to repair spinal cord injuries. Quite interesting. Brad Greenberg of GetReligion.org will join us to talk about media coverage of 2 stories, a former CNN anchor, Rick Sanchez, and his anti-Semitic remarks, and Bishop Eddie Long, accused of sexual molestation of some young boys. Then we'll round off today's program talking with Craig Hawkins about a mass wedding ceremony led by the Reverend Sung Young Moon, founder and leader of the Unification Church, over the weekend. Craig Hawkins will be our guest. We'll sort out what the Unification Church is all about. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Deaconess Sandy Bowers is director of Freed in Christ Prisoner Reentry Program. Deaconess, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Let's start by making the biblical case about prison ministry. Where would you start in the Bible to say this is something the church needs to be doing?
I would start in Genesis 3. God created man and woman. Actually, even going back further than that, he created them because he loved them. He created them in his image and in his likeness. He created them in love, and he is love. So he created them. He created them to do good and to care for, to put their full faith and trust in him and to care for his creation. And he talks several places about prisoners in the Bible. One of the main ones, of course, is Matthew 25, where he says, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me some food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was sick. And he gets down to, when I was in prison, you visited me. And so we want to visit the prisoners. You know, he loves the prisoners. He created them. He desires that all mankind be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he wants them to have that truth, to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, so that they too can have eternal life and live eternally with him. It's very important to us to put pastors into the prison so they can to baptize them, confirm them, and deaconesses as well to teach the faith, volunteers to go into the prison to share Christ with the prisoner, because prison is a very lonely place. It can be a very scary place. They lose everything. They lose their families. Many of them end up going through divorces. They lose their children. They lose their homes, their neighborhoods, their friends. They're embarrassed. They're humiliated. Many deserve to be there from what they did, but it's a very hard place to be, a hard place to live. They have no choices anymore. They're told when to get up, when to go to bed. lots of rules. They're living the law every single day, and there's no gospel for them. And when we bring the gospel of Christ to them, it gives them that opportunity to have that peace. There's no peace in prison except for the peace that Christ can give. I've actually had women come to me and say, thank God he put me in prison. You know, those drugs, they were going to kill me. He gave me this time out. Now I have all this time to read the Bible, and they get that closer relationship with him. They get to know him, and they can have peace even behind the walls of prison, peace that they didn't have even on the outside when they didn't know Christ.
Tell me about the first time you, I mean, you didn't have experience going into prisons when you started doing this. Tell me about the first time you walked into the prison. What were your first impressions? What struck you most about what life must be like, in your case in particular, for these women behind bars?
Actually, it's quite surprising because I actually go to a camp. And so it's actually nicer than I thought it would be. Now, I've been to a lot of other prisons, too. I go actually into a lot of the prisons in Illinois now that we have this reentry program to tell the prisoners about it. But my first experience, you know, you hear all these horror stories. You don't know how you're going to handle it when you hear those doors shut, you know, behind you and you can't just walk out. The women's prison that I go to is actually pretty relaxed. You know, sure, I have to go to training. I had to get my fingerprints. I had to get a background check. I have to get an ID. But when I walk in, I sign a book. I talk to the officer in charge. He gives me my badge, and I walk back to the chapel. And they say, anyone interested in Bible study, come to the chapel at this time. And there, the ground is well kept. The ladies work. You know, they mow the lawns. They shovel the walks. They it's plant flowers. It seems nice. Can be deceiving because, like I said, it's a hard place to live. But in the women's camp, it's not as scary as you expect in most prisons. Now, when I go into the other prisons, you know, you sign in, you give them your driver's license, you can't take anything with you, no cell phones, no electronic key things, you don't wear open-toe shoes, you know, lots of, you know, don't wear shirts, lots of dress code issues, you know, they want you to be safe. Don't take anything in with you, don't give anything to the prisoners, don't take anything from them. You go through a like being at the airport, you know, you go through security, make sure that there's nothing on you. And you have to be escorted everywhere. Most prisons, not the camps necessarily, but all the other prisons, you're escorted with someone who is there to protect you. And you're with them all the time. You learn codes for the phone. You know, if there's a riot or anything, this is the number you call, or rip the phone off the, rip the receiver off and people will come. They'll be right there. So it's, knowing that you're going in and coming back out, I mean, to me, it's never really been a scary experience. But for some people, it is overwhelming. They don't like the sound of the doors behind them. There's certain places where there's a door in front of you locked, there's a door behind you locked, and you're just going to have to wait, you know, show your little stamp and stuff before you can go through. And again, being escorted everywhere. And there's only movement at certain times. They lose their freedom to go where they want, when they want. There's certain times where they're like, movement at this time, and there's only certain places they can go. So it's very different from what we're used to, and it can be very hard.
What are, I mean, I know this is kind of a broad question, but what are most of the women that you deal with in for?
Drugs. Drugs and alcohol is 80% of the people in prison, 70 to 80%, are there for drugs and alcohol. So the good news, while, you know, you always hear the stories that some people can still get it into prison, the good news is that if you go to prison for drugs and alcohol, it gives you that time away from it. So people that go in for 2 years, 3 years, 7 years, 10 years, they can be off of drugs and alcohol a really long time. Now, some, of course, the first thing they plan to do when they get out is go get high. Mm-hmm. But others, giving them that time away from it, it kind of clears their mind. And the ones that get started in Bible studies and worship services and has God, you know, working through his word, working through his gifts to change their hearts and mind, it's kind of a big red stop sign. You know, he gives them that big stop sign. You're in prison now. It gives them that chance to reevaluate their lives, look at where it's going. And then you have some that say, hey, this isn't where I expected my life to be. I never expected to be in prison. You hear that over and over. Never expected to be here. I used to look down at prisoners, they'll tell you, that, you know, they thought lowly of them, and now all of a sudden they're there. Because some are vice presidents, you know, some are very highly educated, and some are in there for white-collar crimes, but most are in there for drugs.
Okay, so when you sit down for a Bible study with these women, what's it like doing a Bible study with people who, they live there, they're not getting out soon, you can come and go, but you have the Word of God to bring to them. What's that like?
One of the most interesting things about doing a Bible study in prison is that you don't know what you're going to get. Some people walk in, they know nothing about the Bible, and they want to find out, who is this God you're talking about? Who is this Christ, and how is he different from all these others that are coming in? You know, one of the great things about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod being in the prison and sending our workers in there is all the other religions are coming in. All the other denominations are coming in. So if we're not there, they're not hearing what we have to say and giving out God's word through the Bible. Surprisingly, many women in our Bible studies say that we're the only ones that actually use the Bible. You know, when I go in, let's start with Genesis 1. Now let's do Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. I'm not using all these other books and stuff. We're using God's word because his word is what changes hearts and minds. And there's a lot of people that come into prison to do Bible studies and they never open the Bible. And so I find that shocking. The other thing is I had a Mormon, and, you know, I did three classes a week for an entire year, and a Mormon was in every one of those classes. They come from different religions. They come from different denominations. Some know a lot about the Bible. Some don't know anything about the Bible. Some can quote far more passages than I can ever hope to. And so it's a different kind of Bible study. But I found that if you just stick to Scripture and you start Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and just talk about what's in the Bible, then it no longer matters because God brings you along. You know, he works through that word. He works faith in their hearts. And we can talk about what they've learned in other classes and stuff as well and show, you know, what we're teaching. This is why we're teaching it. This is where it's found in the Bible. So some find it very helpful and refreshing to actually use the Bible in Bible study. That sounds crazy to us Lutherans because we always do that, but many don't.
All right. Deaconess Sandy Bowers is our guest. We'll talk about prison outreach some more with her on the other side of the break. It's Tuesday afternoon. Stay tuned. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Does your circuit hold circuit convocations? One of the weak links in our current polity is the absence of this type of gathering for the laity and a lack of laity participation. The CLCC believes part of the problem is time, a lack of time to prepare good materials. The CLCC has begun a new program to repackage select seminar lessons into 1 to 2 hour presentations, great for circuit convocations. For more information, contact Carrie Anderson at the clcc.org. thecclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, October the 12th. We're talking with Deaconess Sandy Bowers about prison outreach. She's director of Freed in Christ Prisoner Reentry Program. Sandy, I'm curious. You were talking before about the Bible classes that you conduct. What kind of false teachings do you commonly find in the prison setting?
The biggest classes, religious classes in prison are, for the women, Wicca.
Really?
Yes. Voodoo, witchcraft, very appealing to women in prison. Mother Nature, you know, I don't know a lot about the religion, or if you even call it that. But it just becomes very appealing because it's very much talks about nature apparently a lot. And then, of course, everybody wants to cast spells. So you might not get a huge number to the Christian Bible studies, but they'll get a huge number. I would say the biggest thing I've run into time and time again is name it, claim it. Just over and over, having a group of women, when I first started, come up and say, Deaconess Sandy, we are praying, it's like six women, we're praying every day that God lets us out on July 15th. We believe he's going to do it. We're sure he's going to do it. July 15th, our faith is strong. And they just all sure that if they prayed that, that would happen. And I find that a lot in prison. And I just keep telling them over and over, God's not a vending machine. You know, you don't put the prayers in and then tell him how he has to react to your prayers. That's not how it works. And that, you know, that he does work all things to good, for good for those that love him. That he doesn't promise an out date, but he will do what's best for them. And he will let them out at, you know, at his time. And there's not really faith to saying, well, I prayed this and he better do that or I'm not going to believe it. There's no faith in that. You know, true faith is to believe that, you know, thy will be done, not my will, but thy will. And to trust that he will do what's best, even if it doesn't fit our time and our agenda.
Without betraying any confidences, do you have a story or two to tell about the impact of God's word on the women who you've encountered in prison?
I do. I want to tell you the first big impact. I had been going in with Pastor Nert. He was my supervisor when I first started prison ministry because he was the pastor assigned to Greenville. He was already going in there. So he took me into the women's prison. He took me into the men's prison. I sat through some of his Bible studies. Then when I started Bible study on my own, I was a little concerned. I had never done them on my own. I was a little scared and stuff. And it wasn't the first class I taught, but I was teaching about baptism. I made sure I found all, you know, I made sure I found all the passages about baptism, and just one after another, we're reading about the gifts of baptism, what it can do. It puts you into Christ. It puts you into his life. It puts you into his death, into his resurrection. It gives you the Holy Spirit, and just promise after promise after promise. And at the end of the class, there's this lady that she wasn't really participating in the class. She was in the chapel. She was over in the corner. And she acted like she wasn't paying attention at all. And at the end of class, she comes up to me, and she tries to offer me a cough drop. So I'm not sure what that was about, because usually that's a setup. You know, if they're trying to give you something, they know the rules. They're not supposed to give you anything. So my first impression was she's trying to set me up. I said, no, thank you. I cannot receive anything. I appreciate it. But, you know, I'm not allowed to take anything from you. And then all of a sudden she says, you know what? I am getting out of prison tomorrow, and I'm going home. And I have two daughters, and I believe they were like 9 and 12 at the time. And she said, I've never had them baptized. She said, I was baptized when I was a baby by my parents. My parents took me to church and was baptized. But she thought it was just a ceremony. She didn't think it really did anything. And now that she heard all the promises of God and what it does, she's like, the first thing I'm going to do when I get home is I'm going to go home and baptize my children. And I was so blown away by that because I'm worried about, you know, am I teaching good enough? Am I they understanding? And it's like, wow, I didn't do anything. All I did is read the promises of God one after another, and his word did that. And there might be two girls out there baptized now because of his word. And she'd never been to any classes before, and she was leaving the next day. And I just thought that was very powerful of what his word can do.
Freed in Christ, it's a little different than a lot of prison outreach ministries. It is, in fact, a prisoner reentry ministry. Tell us about that.
What prisoners, what First, you might be surprised that prisoners are afraid to come out of prison at times. They're excited. They want to come out of prison, but they are afraid because they need a place to live. They need food. Many, they go in one size, clothing size, and they come out another, so they have no clothes. Many have burned their bridges with family and friends. Family and friends might not want them back, or family and friends might have been the bad influence that helped them get into prison, so they don't want to go back there. So many don't have a home. They need food. They need clothes. They need that first job. That's very important to get that first job. Yet, on their application, they have to put, I have a felony. And so, you know, when you have all these applications and you got a felony, usually that just gets tossed in the trash. So it's very hard for them to find a job. And if they do one, it's probably going to be minimum wage. So they're going to have minimum wage. If they had child support, they didn't have to pay it while they're in prison. But now that they're out, they might have 10 years worth of child support. It's due now. There are special programs to help them with that. But many times they don't know that. So they're trying to skate under the radar for that. And they got a lot of things they got to get lined up right away. And so as we get to know them in prison, we get to know their hopes and we get to know their dreams and what they want to do when they get out. Someone want to restore their marriage. Most want to get their children back. Many want to find that job, something they're good at. But they're afraid because they got to get all that stuff lined up really quickly. And if they don't, they're going to probably find themselves back in prison. Over 60% end up going back to prison within the first 3 years after they get out. And half of those go back within the first 3 months. And because a lot of them, like I said, they're in there for drugs, so they know where the easy buck is, you mm-hmm. know. So when things don't line up right away, sometimes they go for that easy money. And we don't want that to happen. We want the ones that really want to change, that want to know Christ, that want to either find out who this Christ is or deepen their faith and be part of a church family. We want them to have that opportunity. And we want to help in with the practical needs, but we don't want to be a handout program because we don't want people just coming in to get handouts. We know they need some of that, and there's other agencies that take care of things like that, but we know that Christ is what changes hearts and minds. They had a home. They had a car. They had some of that food and clothing before they went to prison. That didn't keep them out of prison, so we know it's not going to keep them out of prison again. But Christ can. Christ can change that heart. He can change that mind. When their hearts and minds are changed, their actions will change. And that's what we want to see. So Freed in Christ is a prisoner reentry program where we take an ex-offender, a nonviolent ex-offender, and we hook them up with one of our 96 Southern Illinois District Churches, our LCMS churches, and we give them a 3-person volunteer support group from that church that's willing to work directly with them. So they meet with them once a week. They do a Bible study, a Freed in Christ Bible study written for the program with them. But while they're there, they also find out, you know, what are your needs? You need a job? Okay. Well, do you have a resume? Well, if you don't, maybe we can help you with that resume. Or if we can't, maybe there's someone else in this church that can. And if they can't, hey, we got this resource manual that tells us who can. Do you need some clothes? Well, here's where the secondhand clothing stores are. Or maybe the church can take up a collection of clothes and, you know, use clothes in that size. You need food? Here's where the local food pantries are. So again, it's not a handout program, but it's a walk with, talk with, pray with, support, encourage. And maybe we can help them with budgeting, maybe mock interviewing so they're ready for that question. You were in prison. Tell me about that. You know, give them a little practice. So we're there to support them and to encourage them because we feel that that's what they need, even more so than the stuff. They need the stuff too, but they need more than stuff.
Do you connect them with, if there was a drug problem, do you connect them with AA, NA, that kind of stuff when they
sure. get there? Sure, that's part of our resource manual is to help them find the local AA and NA meetings. Anything that they need, we try to find. But again, their needs are extensive, so we can't necessarily take care of all of them. I tell them, we're not going to give you a car, but if there's a bus, we'll show you what the bus route is. Things like that.
It strikes me when you're talking about this that they get out all at once. Life's got to start up again for them, as it does for all of us, all in one day. And
right.
that burden can be incredible. Basically, you guys are helping them navigate that and helping them through these local churches bear the burden of restarting life all over again and all at once.
Exactly. And, you know, the big thing that we can't really help with is housing. And that's one of the biggest needs of prisoners. They need a place to stay. We can't really help with the housing. But if they can get that set up, we feel that we can at least point them in the right direction for the other things. And it's more than the things I mentioned. They might need their Social Security card. Well, how do you get that? They might not know how to use the computer and the internet because they've been in prison for a long time. They weren't allowed to use it there. So help them track down that birth certificate, that Social Security card, the shot records for their kids that's been in foster care for 5 years and in 10 homes. There's so many things that we can help with. And we can't promise them because we got volunteers. Every volunteer has their own God-given gifts. So I can't give the prisoners a lot of promises. We're going to do this, 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 and this. But we know that when God's people work together, they can do a lot in Christ's name.
Well, and speaking of volunteers, when we come back, someone says, "Look, I'm just terrified. I can't imagine going behind the walls of a prison, even to volunteer and to help prisoners. I can't imagine letting a prisoner into my life, an ex-convict into my life. As much as I want to see them transition back to normal, law-abiding life on the outside, it's hard for me to imagine doing that." We'll see what Deaconess Sandy Barrows has to say about that on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. A few more minutes on prison outreach with Deaconess Sandy Bowers of Freed in Christ Prisoner Reentry Program. Then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us from Concordia Publishing House. We'll be talking with her about Abraham rescuing Lot. We all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll get a little bit of that in a few minutes.
I don't know when I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, "You Can't Teach Lay People Theology," issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, "You Can't Teach Lay People Theology," today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
As the abortion industry celebrated the 10th anniversary of the abortion pill, RU486, the world was reminded of its dangers. 10 years ago, President Clinton successfully rammed the approval of this death pill through the FDA. But during the celebration, the Centers for Disease Control reported two more American women have died using the drug. Two studies by the University of Michigan and a Brown University researcher confirmed the pill can lead to infections and septic shock, killing women. It's left a deadly trail of both unborn babies and their mothers around the world. The maker of the abortion pill in Europe confirms dozens more women have died, but their deaths are largely going unreported. It's time to protect women and their babies. End the use of RU486.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Sandy Bowers is our guest for just a few more minutes. We're talking about prison outreach on this Tuesday afternoon. This is Issues Etc. Then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us in just a few minutes. We'll talk about Abram rescuing his nephew Lot, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sandy, a few more questions. What do you say to someone who says, "I'm just scared"? You mentioned before volunteers. "I'm just scared to let an ex-con into my life." What would you say to them?
I would tell them some stories. A lot of people are scared. I've gone and talked to quite a few churches in Southern Illinois, and some's like, "I don't think so. Too scary for us. We don't want one of them in here." The thing about prison ministry is that the person doing the volunteer work, yes, you got to be careful. You can be taken advantage of. You know, they're criminals. They've done some bad things, and some of them are going to get out and try to do the same things but better. So we have to be careful. We try to use a process to kind of weed out the ones that we think are going to try and take advantage of our people. At the same time, you know, the Lord promised anytime we pour our lives in love for others, anytime we help them and clothe them and feed them and visit them, it's like we're doing it to the Lord himself. He says, you're doing it to me. When you do it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you're doing it to me. And as we do that, as we pour out our lives in love, it fills us. It makes us more human. It takes away our void. It's always amazing how that works, but it does. It becomes a bigger joy for us that we get to share that love of Christ with them and do things to help them and encourage them. It becomes a bigger blessing to us than them.
Finally then, Sandy, I understand that Freed in Christ has a fundraiser this Friday, October the 15th, in Greenville, Illinois. Tell us about it.
Yes, the district is setting this up, especially Pastor Nairt's congregation at Our Redeemer and my own church, St. Paul and Hamel. They've come together to have a chicken and beer dance to raise money to keep Freedom Christ growing. You know, the thing about prison ministry is it doesn't pay. You know, prisoners can't pay for this service. They have nothing. And so the only way that we can continue to go into the prisons and help people when they get out is if other people that do have jobs, that if they can support the ministry. So they've put together a chicken and beer dance to support Freed in Christ, and so we can continue to help one of the prisoners when they get out. We're helping one guy right now. He was actually baptized and confirmed in prison by one of our pastors, Pastor Weiser at Big Muddy, and he's come out to one of our churches. He's now... him and his wife became members several weeks ago. His two children were baptized there. They're now in one of our Lutheran schools, and he's enjoying the Bible study and the volunteers. Again, the volunteers are like, this is changing our life. You know, it's helping us. I don't want to go into their stories too much because I don't want to break confidentiality. But they gave a beautiful witness to the mission board this last week of how it's changed their life and how it's changing the lives of others. This guy, he's bringing kids from the neighborhood, you know, to church with him. And so it's starting to change their life. And a mother of five came to church to witness the baptisms, and she's thinking about going back to the church. There's many lives that are touched. So this fundraiser, it's 6 o'clock. The doors open at the Greenville VFW. It's on 4th Street. Just look for the prison. It's just going to be down the street from the prison. And the chicken's going to be served at 6:30. At 8 o'clock, it's going to be music and dancing. And they say that they'll provide the chicken and the beer, and everybody's supposed to bring a side dish. And whoever you're sitting with at that table, everybody shares the side dishes at that table. I'm not sure how many's at a table. My guess is like 10 or something. And so you share your food with the table, and then you enjoy the dancing. It's $15 a ticket. And you can go to the Southern Illinois District LCMS website to order your tickets, or it has phone numbers that you can call as well to get tickets.
Folks, you can find out more about the Chicken and Beer Dance beginning 6 o'clock Friday night at the VFW in Greenville. Find out more about this benefit and Freed in Christ under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Deaconess Sandy Bowers is Director of Freed in Christ Prisoner Reentry Program. Deaconess, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.